Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Will Ukraine and Gaza lead America into war with Europe? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Yes, the question today is, will Ukraine and Gaza lead America into war with Europe? Now, the way I came up with this is because I was originally starting today, planning to talk about Ukraine. Well, obviously, this all came about from the meeting between President Trump and President Putin, and which I, you know, I watched while I watched the press conference. I obviously wasn't in at the meeting, but you know, it was very interesting. And of course, on Monday, which, you know, I'm recording this right before, Zelensky is going to be coming to the Oval Office to talk with President Trump. Now, you know, to follow up on this meeting with Putin. So, of course, Zelensky was invited to come and talk with Trump, but all of a sudden now, some people have invited themselves. Who might that be? Some of the heads of European countries. They just invited themselves. They felt that that Zelensky needed support, and they are coming to support him. I don't know yet how Trump is feeling about this. He could, of course, tell them not to come, but I don't know that he's going to do that. I mean, it seemed like it would be a more effective meeting, just he and Zelensky. And then I mean, that's how it was supposed to be. And then the heads of the European countries. But we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, so that got me thinking about how the Ukraine war. Now, there are two things going on in the world right now, two hot spots, hot buttons and hot spots. And those are the war in Ukraine and the war in Gaza. So I started thinking about how these European heads who have invited themselves to the Oval Office with, you know, not necessarily in the spirit of cooperation, you know, thinking that they have to support Zelensky because thinking that Trump is going to be on the side of Putin and Russia and want Zelensky to give up some land. And Russia, I mean, Europe doesn't want, of course, Ukraine to give up land, because if they give up land, then that they are thinking that that will encourage Russia, Putin, to keep going and plan on taking more land from other countries. So okay, you can understand what everybody's thinking, but you know, the idea here, Trump's goal, number one goal, is to stop the killing. And he had been hoping for a ceasefire. Putin wasn't ready for that, but Putin suggested that they try to have an agreement to end the war altogether, which, you know, that's not a bad idea. I mean, it depends what he has in mind. But anyhow, so okay, so then I started thinking about, I started looking into things which talked about how there are people from Gaza, so-called Palestinians, being flown into America surreptitiously. And that is going to bring another conflict with Europe. You know, they were our allies in the previous wars, some of them. I mean, it depended upon World War I and World War II. There was different foes and allies. But there is something else that just happened recently. I mean, along with the changes, the things that are happening in Ukraine, there are things happening in regard to the recognition of Palestine as a state. And a number of European leaders, like Macron in France and Starmer in the UK and in Germany, there are no, I think the same people who are coming to the Oval Office tomorrow. They are going to be announcing a little later at a meeting at the UN that they are going to recognize the state of Palestine. Now, they've already announced it. I mean, it's been in the media, but they're going to officially announce it at the UN when the UN meets in the fall. So, what do we have here? Think about it. You know, all of a sudden it occurred to me. We're having the two major issues, the two major wars that are going on in the world are putting America and Europe on opposite sides. Think about that for a minute. Very scary thought. So I'm going to start in this segment by talking about the war in Ukraine and what impact that has or is having and will have as long as it continues on promoting terrorism. In the next segment, I'm going to be talking about Europe and how the allowing radical Islamist migrants into Europe has basically almost completely destroyed the continent. And then in the third segment, I'm going to talk about the issue of what's happening, the threat to America with all of these Gazans, not just due to come in, but some of them have come in. I guess it's a matter of finding them and trying to get them to leave. So there you have the plan. All right. So as far as what the war in Ukraine, the impact is on terrorism. There are a number of things that this war in itself is how it is increasing the danger of terrorism in all over the world, how it's helping terrorists basically. So one example is the technological advancements. So of course, you know, the war in Ukraine has propelled people to create better, more and better weapons. It has been a testing ground for drone warfare in particular. And so terrorists are watching what's happening. There are some terrorists. I did a podcast a while back about how some terrorists are involved in the war. Both on the side of Ukraine and on the side of Russia, because they are like they're paid to fight, or they're doing it without being paid, but they're involved. And so part of what they're going to get from being involved is seeing the impact of certain kinds of drones, and whether for surveillance or attacks, and so on. Then also the war, there's been cyber attacks during the Ukraine war, and the terrorists are watching that. Then war in itself, the excitement of war, has created a boon for radicalization, for recruiting to terrorist organizations. And they, because, you know, especially those who have gone to who have fought in the Ukraine-Russia war, have been trained to fight, and have been more radicalized in a sense, by others of the same persuasion, Islamic persuasion. And so they have not only, has that increased making other people feel that they want to have fun too, I'm being sarcastic, have fun too and join a military organization like a radical Islamist group, but it also has trained them to be better fighters. Then also, it has caused regional instability in that area. And of course, any area where there's a war, there is more opportunity for terrorists to come in because there's less counterterrorism operations. And also, it has now created more of an idea to have state-sponsored terrorism. Russia's actions in Ukraine could be considered state-sponsored terrorism. And that could encourage other states, other countries, to engage in terrorism themselves. Now, not necessarily, it could be radical Islamist terrorism per state. I mean, that's essentially happening already. But it could be other states not who would be terrorists in the sense of not necessarily promoting Sharia law and wanting everybody to convert to Islam, not that way necessarily, but in a way to just grab land, to use war, to use violence, to make a change in the culture and the state and the politics, which is, the definition of terrorism. Also, a shift in focus and resources. While we're looking at, the Ukraine-Russia war, some people have said already that it's like a distraction. Even Trump said at when he was talking in Alaska or before he even left. He was talking about how, how he doesn't need this, he doesn't want this. He said, it's not for my health. I'm not doing this, going to Alaska to meet Putin for my health. It's that I want to stop the war, to stop the killing. And he also said that all of this is taking so much of his time and his energy to try to stop the war in Ukraine. And that he would rather be spending, I mean, I don't know, rather is probably too strong a word, but he wants to also be spending time. There's so much in America that he wants to change. So it's not, I mean, he strongly wants to stop the killing, but it's like, hey folks, I also want to, there's a lot to fix in America. And so, there's only so many hours in the day, although he certainly makes the most of every day running all over the place. So these are some of the reasons why a war in Ukraine is significant in terms of helping terrorists. Now, let's see. Here are Now, here are the groups, the terrorist groups that are using the Ukraine conflict in their propaganda to recruit people. So it's ISIS-K and Al-Qaeda. So ISIS-K is using Ukraine in this way. First of all, this is the group, this is an affiliate of the of the Islamic State, ISIS, ISIS-K is an affiliate of it. And they were the ones who claimed responsibility for the March 2024 attack at the music hall in Moscow and also attacks in Dagestan. And now the Kremlin, Russia was trying to say that those attacks had to do with Ukraine, rather than this terrorist group, because that helps them, of course, gives them more of a reason to be in a war with Ukraine. The other terrorist group that is particularly using the Ukraine conflict is Al-Qaeda. And there are some people within Al-Qaeda who have engaged in the conflict in Ukraine through propaganda channels. Like the pro-Al-Qaeda magazine Wolves of Manhattan, and they called on Western Muslims to exploit the relaxed travel restrictions and join the fighting in Ukraine. So it is happening. Also, let's see. Now, also, Russia has backed groups in Donbass and who Ukraine considers terrorist organizations. These are the Donetsk, I can't pronounce it, Donetsk, and I'm not going to try it. Anyhow, the groups that are in Donbass, Ukraine considers them terrorist organizations, Russian groups, and Ukraine considers that they were set up by the Kremlin and, part of the Russian invasion. This is really true that... There really are. Oh, and now here also, what regions are seeing rising terrorism due to the Ukraine war? Let's, how is it affecting? Well, first of all, Europe, there are more terror attacks in Europe because of the Ukraine war. There are a lot of attacks in Europe that aren't reported in America. Particularly in France and in the UK and in Germany and in Belgium, and it's going on every day. There's also been, and partly some of it comes from the fact that that people who, the terrorists or migrants are, who go to fight in Ukraine, come back to Europe. So this is in Central Asia also. That some people are coming back to Central Asia who were involved in the Ukraine war. And, they are more skilled now in combat and in using drones and things like that. And then also in the Middle East and in North Africa, the problem is that the Ukraine war has exacerbated food insecurity issues. Particularly those countries reliant on Ukrainian and Russian grain imports. So these would be countries like Egypt and Lebanon and Yemen and Libya. So this is, oh, and let's see. We still have, I think I pretty much covered. I covered the major aspects of it. Just basically, I'm just trying to give you a general understanding of how the Ukraine war affects more than Ukraine and Russia. It affects all of us, is my point, because the more terrorists are skilled in combat and in drones and in other weapons, the more all of us all over the world, the West primarily, are in danger. So stay tuned. In the next segment, I'm going to be talking about this vast influx into Europe of radical Islamist migrants and what it has meant for them, which is, I'll give you the spoiler alert, it's meant that they're almost, the culture and their finances are almost gone. And it's the radical Islamist migrants have reached a tipping point. And so I'll give you some examples of what is going on in Europe that are unbelievable. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. Today we're talking about, will Ukraine and Gaza lead America into war with Europe? And as I mentioned at the beginning, it's because in putting together today's show, I was realizing how our allies, our former allies in Europe, some of the UK, France, you know who our allies are. They have different views on things that are going on in the two hot buttons of wars in the world today, which are the Ukraine and Gaza. So I was talking about how, this is what first got me started thinking about this, about how Zelensky is going to be coming to the Oval Office to talk with President Trump after Trump's meeting with Putin, and to talk about to try to make a peace deal for Ukraine. And it was supposed to just be Zelensky, and all of a sudden now we have other leaders of European countries who have invited themselves to go with him. Then the other hotspot is Gaza, of course, and it's Europe. The same European leaders have recently announced that they want to recognize Gaza or Palestine. There is no such thing as Palestine, and there is no such thing as Palestinians. But anyhow, I won't get into that's another podcast. I'll just leave it as is. The people in the Gaza Strip, I'm going to call them Gazans because the people in the Gaza Strip are primarily Palestinians, which, in single quotes. Okay. So these same European leaders have announced that they want to recognize Palestine as a state or Gaza as a state, or I guess the other Palestinians that are in the other area that the West Bank. Anyhow, so I don't know if they're just talking about Gaza or the West Bank as well or whatever. But my point here is, I mean, we'll soon find out. They are going to be announcing this their recognition of the Palestine as a state to the UN. So, and America, of course, is very much against recognizing Palestine as a state. Actually, America did at one time think that that would be a possibility. The two-state solution. But now it has become really clear, and I have to do a podcast on this. It's become because for some people it's not so clear, but it's become really clear if you're paying attention that the reason why the two-state solution won't work is because Palestinians or terrorists, Hamas, they don't want two states. They want Israel gone, from the river to the sea. They want Israel gone, not two states. So the idea of a two-state solution is like a fantasy, a fairy tale. And the imams imams have come out and they're being much more vocal about these things and admitting, that part of what they have, what the Quran tells them to do. And the Prophet Muhammad, what he left for them, his legacy, what he basically told them to do was to destroy Israel. So they want to follow the Prophet Muhammad and follow his rules and his sayings, and they feel that that is part of what their life should be dedicated to. So there can't be a two-state solution. Israel has to be gone in the eyes of terrorists, Hamas and all the other Iran and all the other terrorists. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about Europe and why they took in all these radical Islamist migrants. Now, if you look up, I've always been wondering about this because it makes no sense whatsoever. Certainly now it doesn't. It might have made sense to some degree at the beginning because, but they miscalculated it. They didn't realize how these radical Islamist migrants were going to be destroying instead of adapting to the culture and the language and all of that and getting jobs and working. They are on the dole. On they are most of them. Are just living off the state, living off the people of that country, the French, the German, the British. And so it turned out not to be such a great idea. Okay, but so I wanted to know what I'm trying to figure this out. I'm thinking, you know what? Let me ask AI. Now you have to be really careful with AI. I've been finding this out. First of all, I'm not happy with AI in any regard, but certainly not in medicine or psychiatry. It's really dangerous. There are studies already that have showed some of the things that the chatbots have told people and kids too. Of course, why a parent would let their kid talk to a chatbot is another story. But But anyhow, it has been a disaster. So what did I do? But with this question, I thought I'm going to ask AI. I'm going to Google it, is what I mean, which is, now the answer comes from AI. Of course, AI on Google, you may well have noticed that they give a here they give a caveat. It says AI responses may include mistakes. Now, when it comes to things that are of political nature, AI, Google and AI, and for that matter, Facebook and all of these things are very much leftists. So they give the leftist view on things that are related to politics. Okay, so I asked Google or AI, why do European countries take in Muslim migrants? I said radical Muslim, or, well, they, anyway, radical, let me just put a caveat here myself. Not all Muslims are terrorists, and not all terrorists are Muslim. Okay. However, there are a lot of Muslims who don't try to do anything against the Muslims who are terrorists, who to try to stop the Muslim terrorists from just, making attacks and so on. But anyhow, put that aside. So, okay, why do European countries take in Muslim migrants? So the AI overview said, migrants, let's see. Oh, it's potentially referencing migrants from the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia. So the reasons they give for why Europe took in, I'm talking about radical Islamist migrants, demographic and economic needs. So it talks about how in Europe there were aging populations and labor shortages, declining birth rates and aging population, which leads to labor and skills shortages. Okay, you would think that's reasonable. Economic benefits. Now, this is totally wrong. Migrants, the idea here was migrants contributing significantly to the gross domestic product and tax revenue. That's a nice idea. Unfortunately, they don't get most of them don't work a lot and don't really contribute significantly to that. Well, they don't contribute to the economy of the country more than they take from it. They take more than they contribute. Then skill gaps. Migrants, including those with professional qualifications, can help bridge skill gaps. Yes, that's true. Except the problem is there aren't many engineers and doctors going to Europe. It is more the people who don't have skills, who are going there because they can get money from the state. Then, second reason, humanitarian and moral obligations. International protection. European Union member states have a shared responsibility under international law to provide protection to those fleeing persecution and violence. Of course, that's a whole other issue because the European Union has been taken over by the WEF, but that's going to go down a rabbit hole, so I will just continue where I am here. Humanitarian values, being welcoming to refugees. Proximity to conflict zones. Because Europe is near conflict zones in the Middle East and Africa, then the people who are looking for safety come to Europe. So another reason is realism and practical considerations. Difficult border control. Yes, it is. It's hard to protect all the borders in Europe because they're very, sometimes there are mountains in between, and it's very, I lived in Europe. I lived in France and I lived in England and I lived in Belgium. And it is hard to control their borders. It doesn't mean you can't try. Some places like Hungary and Poland have been successful at it. Avoiding hypocrisy, given the European Union's stated values of human rights, historical ties and colonial legacies. So basically, feeling guilty for having colonized some places. In Africa and Asia, and that feeling that therefore they have to take in the refugees. So another to contrast this AI with Reddit, Why do European countries let in so many refugees? On Reddit, the answer is because their governments are controlled by corporate needs. Those need a steady influx of low-skilled, low-paid migrants. That's a more realistic answer. Now the whole this all got started, this taking in of radical Islamist migrants got started with Mrs. Merkel from Germany in 2015. And she it was you know she opened up the doors, and she said in German, in English it means we can do this. In German, it's wir schaffen das. Sorry if I mispronounce that. But basically, we can do this. It was her idea that when she was Chancellor of Germany in 2015, when she opened up her country to 1 million overwhelmingly Muslim immigrants, she was trying to say, we Germans can integrate these people. We can make them productive members of our society. We can make them law-abiding, loyal citizens who will share our values, and so on. Well, that did not happen. First of all, there are, a lot of them are not law-abiding, loyal, certainly not loyal citizens, and they don't share the same values. And they have been asking for a caliphate in Germany. There are so many of them, they think that they can get a caliphate and put Germany under Sharia law. And then the Germany, the radical Islamist Muslims came, and they came to Germany, and they had the welfare state money that gave free or heavily subsidized housing, free medical care, free education, including vocational training, language, tuition, family allowances, and more. They weren't in much, they weren't, and they still aren't in a big hurry to get employed. Why would they be in a hurry to get employed when they can get money from the state? Plus, they don't want to integrate into this society because to them, the Europeans are infidels. They don't believe in radical Islam. They don't believe in the Quran. I'm talking about the ones, the people who are original. Germans and French and all of that. That is not, they are Judeo-Christian. And so there was, somebody should have told them, should have told her that this was not going to happen, that this was not going to work. The Quran teaches that these infidels are, quote, the most vile of created beings. So the male migrants have gotten even more money through street robberies and burglaries and drug trafficking and so on. And they also feel because this is okay in their countries, there is an explosion of rape in Germany and then now in the UK. Well, it's been going on for quite a while, and in France, in Germany, there is hope in the sense that in Germany and in France, well, even in England, there are political parties that are capitalizing on the fact that the native people of their country have had enough of this. Now, here's some examples of how far this has gone. In Germany, in a particular area, Gelsenkirchen state, in Gelsenkirchen, the state schools have m may now made it a rule that they only serve halal food. In other words, food that is that Muslims are allowed to eat, which means no pork, no alcohol, and the meat has to be slaughtered in a certain way. So they're not only, I mean, they were originally there was just the normal German food for the kids. And then they changed it so that they added halal food for people who are Muslim. And now they're making it that everybody has to eat halal food. So this is in a particular area. It's not all of Germany. But hey, the rest of Germany may well follow suit. So now Germans, kids, have to be deprived of things that they like because the Germany has gone halal. I mean, do you see how crazy this is? Okay, let's see. Yes, now in the UK, I think is, I don't know which country is dissolving faster. It's a race between the UK and Germany and France. But groups of, let's see. They try to say in the UK, they come into the UK from France. They cross the English Channel in small boats and they get, welcomed to the UK. So now they have a plan. Some of the groups of these migrants have a plan for how to Islamize the UK faster. They say, quote, "There will come a point where this oppressive rule, this system we live under, which we do not accept, will end in its place, will end in its place will be an Islamic system." There are no, unquote. They're no longer hiding their plans to turn all these countries into an Islamic country. Now, let's see. Let me give you some other examples. In the UK, 9 in 10 voters back deporting migrant sex offenders. The UK has had, in particular areas in the UK, this has been going on for years. I read about this years ago. And it's just gotten worse, particularly people from Pakistan. There are these rape gangs, and they rape teenage girls or younger, and the girls get into trouble. The police arrest the girls, like if they bring them to a place, if the migrants bring them to a place where there's alcohol, they give the girls alcohol so that their raping would be, they won't fight as much. And so then if the police come, then they arrest the girls and they say you shouldn't be drinking alcohol. I mean, this is such crazy stuff. Then also in the UK, children as young as 5 years old were made to write Valentine's Day cards to sing so quote unquote asylum seekers. I mean, these people come there and they claim that they're seeking asylum, seeking to be given citizenship in these European countries because of all the, because it's dangerous back home from where they came. But really, and that lets them, if they apply for asylum, they're allowed to stay there a little longer. It's harder to deport them. But this is, they made these 5-year-old kids in Britain write things like, quote, "Roses are red, violets are blue, refugees are people just like me and you." These are the same refugees who are raping them. Also, there's a record number of migrants who are unemployed in the UK. It's approximately 1,300,000 who are claiming state, it's called universal credit, state welfare. I mean, so the British people are having to be poor, are having to give their money to pay for these migrants who are raping their kids and doing all kinds of other horrible things. Now, let's see. Oh, there are examples. There are examples in all, even in Canada now. Canada is becoming Islamized. it is really, Canada is in deep trouble, and we're in deep trouble in America because they are so close, and the border with Canada is actually more dangerous now that Trump has fixed the border, the southern border. I mean, I know they're working also on the northern, but it's much harder to police the northern border with Canada because there are mountains and there it's just the terrain is much harder and it's much bigger, the border. So like in Canada, for example, Islamists gathered again in front of Notre Dame Basilica in Montreal, and that's the most famous church in Canada. And they gave a show of force and pure hatred against Christians. They're not in any case, they're getting bolder and bolder. In the UK, the British in Leicester are forced to hear the Islamic call to prayer from approximately 70 mosques 5 times a day. Unbelievable. In North Carolina, let's bring it to the United States. In North Carolina, an imam explains how to take advantage of America's freedom of speech to take over the country. This imam said, quote, "This country is a gold mine. There are no restrictions on converting people here. Even in Saudi Arabia, we cannot do that. No one can stop us here." Then in the Netherlands, Muslims threaten customers in a McDonald's, accusing the chain of supporting genocide. In Amsterdam, a McDonald's in Amsterdam needed police protection because pro-Palestinian Islamists attempted to lynch customers inside. They accuse anyone not boycotting McDonald's of being complicit in genocide. There's no genocide, by the way. Just looking through, I know I don't have time to tell you all of these things. I'm trying to pick out the best stuff. Okay, here, let me just tell you about, oh yeah, in Paris, yes, in Paris they say, Allahu Akbar, we are Muslims. If the police or anyone attacks us, we have the right to kill them. It is written in the Quran. They're actually right. It is written in the Quran. Okay, let's see. Okay. And then well, all right, I'll save this for the next segment. Okay, why don't we stop here? In the next segment, I'm going to get into how the differences between Europe and America, the possibility that we will get into a war with Europe. I know it sounds scary, but it's if you really look at what's going on, it's not that crazy. I mean, it's not that impossible. But anyhow, so I'm going to get into all of that in the next segment. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. Today we're talking about, will Ukraine and Gaza lead America into war with Europe? And as crazy as that sounds, like one would, it's hard to believe that that could happen, but I hope you're beginning to see from this podcast that it's not so out of bounds. Now, what we've been talking about so far is, I mean, there are two hots, just to recap a bit. There are two hot spots in the world, where there are wars, where there's chaos, and so on. Those are Gaza and Ukraine. And the reason why I'm saying that these two hot spots could potentially cause a war between America and Europe, our allies, once our allies, is because we have different beliefs, different thoughts about how these hotspots should be handled, what should happen there, than the leaders of some of the European countries. Now, as I mentioned, I've been talking about mostly about Ukraine and how the European leaders, I mean, the main issue, and this is what made me plan on talking about this topic today, was that some European leaders have decided to invite themselves to the meeting between Zelensky and President Trump. And where they were supposed to discuss, where Zelensky and President Trump were supposed to discuss the meeting that President Trump had with Putin and take the next step towards hopefully peace in the war between Ukraine and Russia. Now, the some these European leaders have decided that Zelensky needs support. They're afraid to send him there on his own. It was kind of disastrous the last time Zelensky met with Trump. It was really an embarrassment. And it was because the European leaders and some leftists in America gave Zelensky a pep talk and told him that Trump only wants, to have peace in Ukraine so that he can look like a big man, that he was able to stop the war, and that that he was able to stop the war, and also because he, the idea that he wants to be nominated for a peace prize. So they pepped up Zelensky, told Zelensky, you don't give in to anything, be tough. Well, yeah, he was kind of tough in a sort of embarrassing kind of way. But and it didn't go get anywhere. It didn't, it didn't get him peace. One would hope that he would want peace for Ukraine. Zelensky would want to stop the killing of his fellow citizens. But he does not seem to be in any hurry. Now, yet, granted, it was Russia who invaded Ukraine. I'm certainly not taking that away from anybody. It wasn't Ukraine. Ukraine didn't start this. So of course it's understandable why he wouldn't want to give up land, and it's understandable why he's, he wants Russia to apologize, and so on. In fact, at the meeting between Putin and Trump, in the press conference, Putin did say something like acknowledged that they wouldn't have started the war, if that the war probably wouldn't have started if Biden if Biden no, let me get this right. Putin has acknowledged, I think it was at the meeting in Alaska, I'm not sure where it was, but he has acknowledged that the war, Russia would not have started the war, invading Ukraine, if Trump had been president. And really, it was when Biden surrendered in Afghanistan that it was after that that Russia invaded Ukraine, because it showed that America was totally weak. I mean, imagine that, surrendering in Afghanistan. That's going to go down in history of one of the most outrageous things that ever happened in the world. In any case, we have we do have this problem, where so that's why, and I explained it in the first segment, why Europeans are kind of in a different in an opposing position to America. America just wants the war to stop, really. But Europeans want more conditions, I guess you could put it. In any case, in addition to all that, let's leave that aside. And what really is the issue now, an amazing, ridiculous thing that's happening, America is under threat because there has been Islamic immigration, secret Islamic Islamic immigration into the United States. And there's a question of who signed off on these visas. There are have been flights of Palestinians from Gaza into America, secret flights. Well, secret to the mainstream of America. Well, I don't know, maybe the mainstream media. If the mainstream media knew about it, they certainly weren't talking. I mean, I think there was some knowledge, actually, but it's getting worse. So another flight of Palestinians from Gaza arrived at the St. Louis Lambert International Airport on a Lufthansa flight. This just happened. This is from August 15th. So the question is, how are so many Palestinians who live in Gaza getting visas from the US State Department to come into the US? Now, actually, there was a video online, where it was a secret video, an undercover video, where someone was interviewing someone from the State Department, and he said he obviously did not know, that this was being recorded, and he talked about how they were letting in people from these countries, letting in people from radical Islamist countries, and God, of course, Gaza and all of that. So it needs to be ferreted out who is okaying these visas for terrorists. So let's see. And actually, it's even worse. There are Palestinian charities, NGOs, non-governmental organizations, who are the ones who are bringing in surreptitiously these Gazans with visas from the State Department. And the Palestinian movement is a violent movement, and they're bringing in people who want to kill us, basically. Now, the group facilitate there's another group, or there are a few different groups who are facilitating the entries of these terrorists. And one of them is called Heal Palestine. It describes itself as a non-political, non-religious, right? U.S. registered nonprofit founded in 2024 to deliver, quote, urgent relief and long-term support to Palestinians. So they are facilitating these visas. Let's see. But now the government, America, Trump, we are getting on top of this. The US government said it's suspending visitor visas for Gazans. Quote, all visitor visas, say that three times, all visitor visas for individuals from Gaza are being stopped while we conduct a full and thorough review of the process and procedures used to issue a small number, yeah, it's not a small number, of temporary medical humanitarian visas in recent days. Now, this was said by Marco Rubio, who is generally a good guy. He leads the State Department, but I think he's going to have a rude awakening when he sees that it's not just a small number who have come in. Let's see. There are these pro-Hamas people who are being let in are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood and funded by Qatar. Now, in a previous podcast, if you've listened to it, you will remember that I talked about how when Trump made his trip to the Middle East, that these countries were rather not 100% trustworthy. So there's another, let's see. And so Qatar Airways is literally flooding our country with jihadis. There was there, you know, Heal Palestine, the charity, did bring in, or so it said, 11 critically wounded Gazan children, as well as their caregivers and siblings, and they came here for medical treatment. Well, that's all well and good, but it's not just them. Hamas says our issue is not just Palestine. Our issue is killing every non-Muslim. We will pursue Jews and Christians all over the world. Either they convert to Islam or we'll kill them. Now, so the State Department is revoking visas for unvetted. They're all unvetted. Unvetted Gazans being smuggled into the U.S. in the dead of night, falsely claiming to be refugees. So finally, now this is from August 17th, the US Department has suspended all visas for these people from Gaza. There is shocking footage of Palestinian refugees being quietly brought into the United States under the guise of humanitarian visas. They've come to airports including San Francisco, Houston, St. Louis, Missouri, Ohio. Now, let's see. Just trying, there's so much to tell you about. I'm trying to, and time is running short, so I'm trying to tell you which, trying to get to the things that are the most important. Now, okay, so here. In addition to the visas for Gazans, the Trump administration is considering, this is from August 14th, is considering an immigration ban on Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamic groups. The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the West. Let's see. The top Trump officials are drafting plans to restrict both temporary visits and legal immigration by Muslims affiliated with the Revolutionary Muslim Brotherhood and other extremist groups. Yes, the Muslim Brotherhood is a very dangerous group. We're talking about they are affiliated with organizations like CARE, and there are other names of people who are essentially the same kinds of groups as the Muslim Brotherhood. And let's see. They pretend, like CARE pretends to be a public relations organization to prevent Islamophobia. And but that's not really what they're about. They file lawsuits. When any kind of sniff of anything, anytime a Muslim something happens that a Muslim thinks is not fair, this group files a lawsuit. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some things that there isn't, that Islamophobia doesn't exist, but there are, in a lot of cases, it's not Islam. In other words, that's fear of Islam. But people don't recognize that what Islam is all about and how it's people who want to kill us. That is the bottom line. People who want to kill others who are not, who are infidels, who don't believe the same thing. So we're talking here about, the unindicted co-conspirators that were listed in America's largest terrorism funding trial in history, which was the Holy Land Foundation trial. And so this list identifies as co-conspirators to this group getting funding supposedly for as charities, but really funding terrorism. And it includes the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood, the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood's Palestine Committee, and many others. Council on American Islamic Relations, that's CARE. All of these organizations pretend to be one thing, and they're really terrorists. They really are promoting terrorism, funding money for terrorists, and doing activities for terrorists, and so on. And it's really interesting that Biden had a pact with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood linked group, they have all these, subsidiary groups called Emgage, EMGAGE. And in 20 early 2020, this group launched a million Muslim votes campaign. They promised to get 1 million Muslim Americans to vote for Joe Biden in the 2020 election. And so he was beholden to them. So when October 7th happened, it was no wonder, of course, it's that Biden was like caught in the middle. He owed his soul to these groups, these Muslim Brotherhood linked groups. And at the same time, he couldn't be blatantly against Israel because that would alienate a lot of people, and he still wanted to run for president. So let's see, there's just so much here. I'm trying to, well, let me see. Let's see. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood has also turned its sights on Europe. Initially in countries like the UK, Germany, and Switzerland, and later it spread to Belgium, Italy, and France in a bid to restart the Islamic Western conquest strategy. We will quote the, let's see who said this. The Muslim Brotherhood founder, Hassan al-Banna, said, quote, "We will pursue this evil force to its own lands," the evil force being Westerners who don't believe in Islam, "invade its Western heartland and fight to defeat it until the whole world cries out in the name of the Prophet." Now, you would think That these leaders, these European leaders who I'm talking about, who are coming to support Zelensky, and who are supporting Pal the who are going to be identifying Palestine, acknowledging Palestine as a state, you would think they would be concerned about this. But and here's a Muslim imam who said, Islam is not merely a religion, but a political system, complete with its own military force, the Muslims and a fighting doctrine known as jihad, aimed at imposing, establishing, and enforcing its laws in the West. So that would mean America and Europe. Now, So two more main things that I want to tell you about. First of all, at the United Nations General Assembly, that is supposed to be in September 2025, interesting, I wonder if it's going to overlap with 9/11, Australia, France, the United Kingdom, and Canada plan to formally recognize Palestine as a state. Now, they announced this in July, but they're going to formally recognize it at this UN meeting. Now, of course, that is so that is how why I am saying these two main hotspots, the Ukraine and Gaza, are putting European leaders, some European leaders, and America on opposite sides. Now, just one last thing that I want to talk about, because this is something, this is happening, this has been talked about in regard to Europe, but to the UK and Europe. And it is something to think about in regard to America because of all the terrorists who have been invading surreptitiously and surreptitiously and not surreptitiously coming into America. So we are basically in the same spot. But there's a retired British Army colonel named Richard Kemp, and he has lots of a wonderful CV. He has lots of experience. And he has said the primary risk the UK faces is from an alliance of the hard left and Islamist extremists. And he fears civil war because politicians are too myopic to take action. Now, that is so true. I mean, the UK is really falling apart. It may be falling apart faster than any of the other countries, because it is becoming more totalitarian. I mean, you're not even supposed to put things online. They can, if you say something online against the radical Islamist migrants coming into the UK, you can be in trouble. No, I don't know. I mean, I have posted some things on Twitter like that. I don't know if they plan to how far their reach will go, although they've threatened to include people in other countries. But in any case, we have that in our country, in America, it is that way too. I know there are people listening to this podcast who are not in America. So, but in America, we have the same problem where the terrorists and the leftists are joining forces, even though they're joining forces to bring down America, just like they're joining forces in European countries to bring down the European countries. And that is the greatest risk. Now, there's somebody else, a top academic named David Betts, who has similar views. He said the classic preconditions for civil war are already present in many Western nations, and particularly the UK. And that is present in America as well. And I'll leave it here. But think about these things when you it's important to have this context when you hear about news, forthcoming news, because both, because Gaza and the Ukraine are still hot spots and are not going away anytime soon, unless somehow there's a miracle and Trump is able to get these places to stop their wars. But in any case, but you know, he can't do it alone, and he certainly can't do it if Europe is going to butt in with their own interests and stop being our allies. Okay, well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. I hope you will be able to think about these things as they unfold.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number four, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.